This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا
إنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome all to another episode of Embracing Quran. Today I wanted to talk about an ayah which is very, very directly related to embracing Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Sad, saying, Kitab. And remember, Kitab was amongst the names of the book of Allah, the Qur'an, right? One of the five names that we discussed in the previous episode. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun. A book that we revealed to you, O Muhammad, mubarakun. It happens to be mubarak. It happens to be very blessed. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. What's the reason for the revelation that we're giving you this Qur'an? What's the reason for that? Why have we sent to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Qur'an? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that they may end up pondering the ayat, the verses of this book. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And also so that people who have intellect, they may be able to ponder this book as well. Okay? Now let's take an attempt, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, or let's make an attempt to implement the very verse on itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to ponder within this verse. Let's ponder the verse of pondering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says kitab. And kitab comes from the word kataba, which means to gather things, which also means to write things down as well, right? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying kitab, right away we know one of the things that we should be doing, one of the objectives of this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preaching to us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to do is to write the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala down. And that's exactly what happened during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was entirely written down. And similarly, that's exactly what happened after the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he gathered the first collection of the Qur'an within the first 2 years after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? So kitab, it's a book which is written. That right there is actually foretelling, and that's almost forecasting. It's a prophecy, it's a sign and a miracle of the Qur'an that it calls itself a kitab and it has yet to be written down. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk. We have revealed it to you, O Muhammad, right? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word anzalna. We have revealed it. And the word anzalna has a couple of things within it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says anzala, and we know that to refer to revelation, you can either say nazala or you can say anzala. And whenever Allah says anzala, He means one thing. And whenever Allah says nazala, He means a slightly different thing, okay? So anzala, it means to reveal something down in one shot, okay? So you take something and it all comes down in one revelation. And that's what happened to the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Qur'an down in Laylatul Qadr in one shot. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We revealed it down in Laylatul Qadr. And we revealed it down in the night of decree, the night of honor, and also the blessed night. All of that is the night of power, night of decree, right? That's Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed all of the Qur'an down to as-sama' ad-dunya, to the last heavens, in this particular night. And then the next revelation began, and that was the revelation from as-sama' ad-dunya, the last heavens, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a course of 23 years, right? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says anzalna. Now, He does say nazalna as well in the Qur'an, right? He says anzalna and He also says nazalna. But in this place, He's saying anzalna for a reason. Whenever you see nazalna, there's a reason. Whenever you see anzalna, there's a reason. Anzal is a complete revelation. Nazal, it's a revelation which occurs over a period of time. He's saying this to us right now Because the next commandment that he's going to give us, which is liyadabbaru ayatihi, right? So that they may ponder its verses. He wants us to realize that that commandment of pondering the verses of the Qur'an is not one verse or two verses or three verses. It's the entire Qur'an. Allah wants you and I to ponder the entire Qur'an. Allah wants you and I to stop at every single verse of the Qur'an and try to gain the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within these ayat. So Allah says, أَنزَلْنَاهُ, we revealed it, i.e. complete revelation in reference to the complete book. Mubarak, it's ever blessed. It's ever blessed, okay? Mubarak comes from the word birka, right? Which literally means a pool. And this pool has water within it. And the water is as such that it's filled right to the top. So even a slightest bit of, you know, objects that are placed within this water, what happens? The water starts to overflow from the pool, right? And the thing about the Qur'an is, it's like that pool in which we can go and take all of the things you want. You see, when you have a very, very grand and large pool, if you were to take a little bit of water from it, would you see any difference within it? No, you won't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about His words, kalimat of Allah, and He compares them to what? He compares them to oceans, right? مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ. Even Allah, even if you were to, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech will not come to an end. It will not come to vanish. It will not come to finish, right? This is how great the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's mubarak. People can take the blessing from this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book will continue to give, and it'll continue to give. Don't you see that every generation there's people that look at the Qur'an and they find things that the previous generation didn't? This is a reality. There were things that we have, there are things we have understood within our times, from the Qur'an, which a lot of the previous generations were not able to see because of new information that Allah gave. That is the barakah within the Qur'an. The Qur'an is mubarak such that the people who end up holding fast to the Qur'an, they end up almost infusing themselves in the pool and the barakah of the Qur'an. So they are also mubarakeen. They are also people who have barakah within them. مُبَارَكُوا لِيَدَّبَّرُوا. And the barakah of the Qur'an is a reality, right? It's true. Those people who are from the Ahlul Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places barakah, blessings, divine aid within their time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places blessings within the actions that they do. So there may be two people, they're doing the exact same things. They're doing the exact same actions. They're doing the exact same, you know, chores and errands. They're earning the exact same amount of money. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the life of one to a degree that there is a world of difference between those two people who may be doing the same exact thing, right? That's the barakah. When you end up achieving the barakah, whether that be through the Qur'an or through the guidances of the Qur'an, the difference becomes very, very great. When you're reading the Qur'an, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, right? Again and again. And Allah tells us, Allah's Messenger tells us, in a hadith, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِي بَعْلٍ لَا يُبْدَأُ فِيهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ فَهُوَ أَقْطَعُ. In another narration, فَهُوَ أَجْذَمُ. In another narration, فَهُوَ أَبْتَرُ. Right? Any action that you start off, and you don't start it off with بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, then that action will be devoid of what? Barakah. The scholars, they said, if you look at the word أَقْطَع, it means someone who has their hands cut off. May Allah preserve and protect all of us. Someone who doesn't have hands, right? So if you look at a person who doesn't have hands, and another person who does have hands, right? The amount of productivity between those two people, there's a world of difference. Person who doesn't have hands, you know, just picking up a spoon is a very, very serious task for him, right? A person who has hands, picking up perhaps even the sofa that I'm sitting on, depending on how much strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the person, it may be a very easy task. So the person who says Bismillah, attaining the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who doesn't say Bismillah, that is the world of difference. Similar to that is the barakah in the Qur'an. You attain the barakah within the Qur'an, your life will be totally different than another person who doesn't have that barakah, even though you may be doing the same thing. مُبَارَكْ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that they may end up pondering the ayat of the Qur'an. Pondering the ayat of the Qur'an. You know, this particular verse is so powerful and so great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا. So that they may ponder. And to signify or to highlight how fast He wants you to get up, O mankind, O people, He wants me to get up, and all of us to get up and start pondering his book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings an instrument that is used within the language but not so often. But it's a very eloquent, you know, instrument to use. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally takes two letters and melts them into one another. It's called idgham, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally takes the ta of at-tadabbur and He melts it into the dal, right? Because both of them have a similar articulation point, right? So He says, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا, so that they may ponder. Originally the word is لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا, so that they may ponder. But see, لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا takes a longer time because there's an extra letter. Whereas لِيَدَّبَّرُوا is a faster pace. The scholars, they said, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that over there is because Allah wants you to just get up and do it. That's how fast He wants you to do it. You know, when you are trying to get a message across to someone and you're trying to get them to really move, you end up sometimes skipping letters which are not essential to the word, right? In order for you to just get your message across. This we do in English all the time. So for example, when you're just trying to speak to people, you'll say something like, you know, hello, salamu alaikum, what's up? Nobody says, what is up, right? Nobody says that unless some people do, Wallahu alam. But the thing is that you're trying to speak at that fast pace, so you end up saying it such that some letters have been, you know, skipped out. Similarly, Allah does the same thing. Allah says, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا. He's speaking at a faster pace, almost melting a letter into another. And the scholars of Balagha, they said, Allah did this here. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get up and move fast. So He starts speaking faster as well. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا. And notice, the khitab, the address was to the Prophet ﷺ the whole time. That we gave you the book, O Muhammad. We revealed it to you, O Muhammad. We sent it down to you, O Muhammad. And it's Mubarak and so forth. But then suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala switches to the third person. And that is who? That is all of us, the rest of mankind. And that is for us to recognize that if the book is coming down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shouldn't feel that we're out of the picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us within the picture and within the depths of the picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get up and start pondering the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And also so that those people who have been granted intellect, they are able to also take heed and benefit and admonishment from this particular book. We'll speak about that in moments, inshallah ta'ala, after the break. جزاكم الله خيرا for listening. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Embracing Quran. We were discussing the ayah in Surah Sa'd where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And we left off at the last part of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And so that those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted intellect to, they may be able to ponder. They may be able to take benefit. So there's a commandment to all of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. And that is that everybody should be getting up and starting, they should start pondering the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. So starting the process of pondering so that they may be able to take benefit from it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the second part of the verse that there are specific people who will actually get this benefit from the pondering that they will do. There are specific people who will go from the state of tadabbur, where they're simply pondering the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to literally inculcating them within their lives. Okay? And who are those people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those are the people who are ulul albab. But before we speak about ulul albab, remember we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to get up immediately, so He said what? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, where He melted the ta into the dal. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to realize that the implementation of that tadabbur is not going to be overnight. We can ponder, sure, but to implement all the things that we'll ponder, that's not going to occur overnight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went back to the normal form in the next part of the verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وليتذكر, not وليتذكر, even though that could be said, because it's the same process as both of them have the similar articulation point, right? وليتذكر أولو الألباب. And that is also to signify a very, very subtle point. That pondering, yes, I want you to do that immediately. But don't lose hope, because sure, you may get to ponder. But implementing within your life, it's going to come one time, one thing at a time. You're not going to be able to implement the entire Qur'an in one night. That's not something that most people are able to do. So التذكر is going to be a state. Your ability to take the tadabbur, your ability to take the pondering and implement within your life all of the things that you understood from what you pondered and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up for you from the meanings of His books, that will come a little bit later. That will come slowly but surely. But there is one condition for it to come. That you have to be from the ulul albab. You have to be from the people of intellect, okay? Now this is very important. Because all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us uqala. All of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us people who have intellect. However, people of albab are unique in that they're ready to give up all of the notions and all of the, you know, different preconceived ideas that they have within their societies. They're willing and ready to give up those preconceived notions for the sake of taking benefit from whatever they're learning from, okay? Because al-lub means aql, but it's a little bit different. Al-lub is a type of aql which is an intellect which is pure, not tainted, doesn't have preconceived notions. They say al-khalisu min ash-shawa'ib, the one which doesn't have any, you know, anything making this particular intellect messy. It hasn't been tainted, it hasn't been corrupted. So it's an intellect with which you go into the Qur'an without any preconceived notions. If you have preconceived notions, and sometimes people do, right? So you tell them the ayah is saying this, they'll say, well, what are people going to say? The ayah is saying this, well, no, this is, you know, it may be this way, but people don't act by this. This is not what I heard from my mom, my dad, my parents, my family, my society, all the people around me, right? This is not what I was raised up with. This is not what people have taught us within schools, universities. This is not the political agenda of my country and so forth, right? So all these other ideas start to come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the one person who will actually benefit from the Qur'an is the one who leaves all of those preconceived notions behind. And he comes into the Qur'an with an aql, with an intellect, which is a lub, which is al-khalis min al-shawaib, which is pure from all of the things that will corrupt it. Any aspect of corruption, you put it aside and then you come into the Qur'an. Okay? And that's why some people ask, they say, well, you know what? The Qur'an keeps talking about how it's such a perfect book and if you look at it, you'll benefit and this and that. I look through verses of the Qur'an, but I didn't come out with the same benefit that other people say. Well, we'll say to them that the reason is because you didn't come with the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. You come with a clean, pure mind, a clean slate, and you look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that your heart becomes ignited with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. There's also another condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to over here. And that is that لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that they may ponder its verses. You see, ayat, my dear brother, my dear sister, is a word which is plural. In addition to the fact that it's plural, it has been placed next to a pronoun. And when something is coupled, a word is coupled, singular or plural, with a pronoun, they say this is amongst the ways to denote generality within the Arabic language. This is amongst the ways to denote generality, especially if it happens to be a pronoun that you're attributing it to, right? So it's fixed to a pronoun. And that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and that pronoun leads back to what? The book. أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ أي آيَاتِ الْكِتَابِ. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say that all of the ayat al-kitab is what I want you to ponder. Not one, not two, not three, not four. The entire 6,000 plus verses of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to ponder all of them. If after fulfilling this condition of pondering the Qur'an in its entirety and coming to the Qur'an without preconceived notions, without any ideas which happen to be corrupting your mind, happen to be halting your thought, happen to be blocking your vision, your spiritual vision, if all of those things have been, you know, set aside and placed aside, If you fulfill those conditions, those two conditions of pondering the entire book and coming without preconceived notions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed you and guaranteed me, that the barakah of the Qur'an will come and help us within our lives. That's when we'll start to benefit from the Qur'an. You see, the Qur'an, even in one verse alone, it has so many different meanings. And that's why a scholar by the name of Al-Rafi'i, he said that Al-Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is such that it will give you meanings without any limitations within them. It'll give you meanings without any end to it. It'll give you meanings after meanings after meanings after meanings, because there really is no limitation to the meanings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within the book. So you can perhaps ponder one verse and continue to do that even an entire night, as we'll find out inshaAllah ta'ala very, very soon. So at-tadabbur then is for us to go deep within the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's different people who will get to go different depths in terms of how far they can reach within the depths of the ayah of the Qur'an. Allah has made it extremely deep, that any person who dives within the depths of this ocean of the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come out with something that someone else didn't come out with. This happens still today in our generation, where people look at the Qur'an and they find the same verses that were being recited 600 years ago, and they come across a verse, and scholars of tafsir sometimes mention that this particular idea, this particular benefit that I'm mentioning in my tafsir, I haven't seen anybody else say it, right? They're not trying to be boastful, but they're trying to say that, look, this is how the Qur'an is. That everybody that goes within it will find something else within it. So at-tadabbur is to go within those depths so you can take out the deep meanings within the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I said, depending on how prepared you are, that's how deep you can dive within the book of Allah. Now as you're diving within the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should attempt to try to allow the book to be the supreme existence over you in order for it to almost envelop you within its ocean, okay? And when you do that, the effect of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come about on you. And that's why there was a group of priests who were sent by An-Najashi to the Prophet ﷺ to see what the Prophet ﷺ had to offer. And when the messenger recited the Qur'an upon them, we have within Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. You see, this book is so powerful, even those people who are not fully prepared to take the meanings of the book, even them, they get affected at times, right? How about those people who actually make an active effort in order for them to benefit from the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, when they heard, who are these? These are the priests sent by Najashi. When they heard the verses which were revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as they heard these verses, تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That you would see immediately that their eyes end up, you know, experiencing an influx of tears. A lot of tears would come down to their eyes. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Why is that? Because they saw that it was truth. Okay, these are people who don't necessarily believe in the Qur'an, right? But later on they ended up believing in the Qur'an. But what I'm trying to say is at the moment, they haven't submitted themselves to the Qur'an. How about you, my dear brother, my dear sister? How about me? If we were to really give in to this book and submit ourselves to this book and recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the kitab, Allah has made the Qur'an, Allah has made the furqan, for us to take all of those benefits and make it a criterion within our lives, right? And that's why Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as described by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he would hear the Qur'an, he couldn't bear it. كان أبو بكر رجلا بكاء لا يملك عينيه إذا قرأ القرآن. That Abu Bakr was a person who would tear up. He wouldn't be able to take a hold of himself and a grasp of himself and over himself when the Qur'an would be recited. Join us for the next episode as we continue to talk about tadabbur and other great topics such as tafsir, until we finally reach the beginning of our journey through Surah Maryam. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا.
هُزِّي إِلَيْكَ
عليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا
فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا.